All right. January 28th, Tuesday, 2025. As we move more into this year, welcome everyone. We will meditate for about 20 minutes. I'll give some instructions, some suggestions, some guidance, and then we'll get into a Dharma topic. This is the winter time, time of year that I find particularly difficult. And and I live in California, where we don't really get on the coast here. It doesn't really get cold, or we still get we've been getting plenty of sunshine. I actually stepped outside this morning just to pick up the newspaper, and sometimes I just need to go outside, like to look up and feel the air and see the trees, and I'm kind of one of those, there is beauty in the world. And I'll say, here comes, we got Eleanor now. That's great. She's having a hard time coming in. So I'll just say that I imagine many of us, I know that I'm finding a lot of distress in the world and in the news, and not spending a lot of time with it, but not needing to spend a lot of time just to get distressed. So I don't know. Anyway, I've also been through a month-long bronchial condition that's clearing up. So I'll stop talking about stuff, random stuff, and myself, and let's meditate. And just settling into a comfortable posture. You can close your eyes or just lower your gaze. You're coming into stillness. Sometimes it takes a minute or two to just find that posture that's going to be supportive of your practice. And just feeling the body sitting. Feeling the energies of this moment. Feeling the movements of breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Not so much that we're trying to stop thinking when we meditate, but rather that we're giving space for quiet, maybe in between thoughts or around thoughts. That quiet, or the Buddha calls seclusion, inner seclusion, has a healing effect. It opens us to the light, the brightness of the heart. The natural healing that happens when we aren't churning up distress in the mind and body. Right now, you don't need to follow every thought, figure anything out, solve anything. You can trust that it's okay just to be here. Trusting the capacity of the heart to hold whatever feelings are here. And again, not problem solving or trying to fix or control. That it's okay for things to be just as they are. Not perfect. It feels natural, inviting in some qualities of loving kindness and compassion. Might start with a sense of kindness toward yourself. Difficult to have a body and mind. This alone is reason for compassion. can be useful to recite or reflect on the words of the Buddha, letting the imagination connect with the words from the Metta Sutta, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. How does it feel to radiate kindness over the entire world? Indiscriminate love for all beings. All beings seek happiness, whether through wise or unwise actions. We can wish for them to find happiness. Radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. See everyone. Oh, I noticed I kind of watched the numbers a little bit, just to see if people really love me or not. It all depends on how many people show up. That's the determining factor. A couple people left. People arrived, people left. I don't know. It's all about me. So was just thinking as I was meditating, as one does, about how I'm not I'm a person who tends toward inactivity. And I think meditation had a particularly draw from me because it seemed like something I could sit and do nothing and still s solve my all the problems of my life, meditate them all away. But as I mentioned before the sit, just stepping outside sometimes it's like, oh yeah, there's this world, like maybe I should engage it in some way. Took a walk with my daughter couple days ago, and she's younger than me, as one's daughter usually is, and healthier, and she's kind of going faster and going further, and I was like, oh God. And then when I got back, I was like, oh, I feel better. Like sometimes I'm just so dense, so anyway, I have some activities planned for the day. I was, as I've been doing lately, picking up and nourishing the roots with my sits. And there's one or two other books I've been sort of looking over, just a little bit at a time. But I just thought I would read a little bit from this. This is Book of Ajahn Pasno, and it's just got, I think it just got three chapters in it. One, two, three. No, one, two, three, four. Anyway, this is the third chapter. It's called What Accords with Dhamma. This is a bit into the chapter. Says, when we sit down to meditate, we are paying attention to whatever meditation object we use. When using the breath, we are paying attention to the in-breath, the out-breath, paying attention to the body, soothing the body with the breath, settling the mind with the breath-filled body. There's an ease that comes from that awareness and mindfulness. There's the appreciation of stillness, tranquility, and calm. We don't have to get all tied up in knots trying to hang on to it or trying to force it to be there. When we are able to step back, attend to the breath, attend to the posture, attend to mindfulness and clear comprehension, there's an ease and a settling that quite naturally takes place. We want to direct our attention in that way, to be able to foster that, to abide and dwell in that. As usual, Ajahn points to the simplicity of practice and sort of doesn't set up these expectations or demands, but just, take it easy and when we are able to step back, attend to the breath, attend to the posture, attend to mindfulness and concentrate, clear comprehension, there is an ease and a settling that quite naturally takes place. So he doesn't say we have to settle back. He says when we're able to do that and just attend to these simple aspects, the breath, the posture, that we can sort of access this ease. I was thinking of the I guess the Leonard Cohen line about the cracks where the light comes in. I'm not sure that's exactly how he thought of it, or what that, maybe there's, I think there's maybe a different meaning to that, because that's kind of about the, our wounds, I think, are the cracks, our traumas are, and but I also think of it as just when we're meditating, the cracks in our ego, and not to get, I just mean cracks in our mind stream, the thought, and just when there's spaces, when there's little spaces, that there is an ease and settling that quite naturally takes place. There's an ease and a settling that slips through those little spaces. And again, I think we can set up this idea of meditation as I'm supposed to just stop everything and get to complete stillness and silence. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not meditating right. But rather, and I think Ajahn Pasana points to this as well, rather to look for the little beams of light that come through, the little feelings of calm, and orient towards that rather than orienting towards doing it right or getting it right or some expectation. So, we could see it as a, kind of glass half full or, view. I'll read the next paragraph too. It's not about developing our personality or trying to become the perfect person. Rather, it is learning how to be mindful and appreciating the things that we do have and what we do experience. I remember Lhampur Samedo one time saying, "I am absolutely certain that my personality is never going to become enlightened." I'm absolutely certain that my personality is never going to become enlightened. It's quite true. The nature of personality, personhood, the me and mind stance is always going to be fraught with praise and blame, gain and loss, happiness and suffering. That is its very nature. How do you step back into the process? Excuse me. How do we step back into the process of what is in accord with Dhamma? What is actually natural? What is what? Actually, it's like, I'm not sure how to read this. I'll try it another way. What is actually natural? What is according to nature? When we are willing to drop all the other fears, concerns, obsessions, and desires, what is left? There's this tremendous opportunity for stillness and clarity, for well-being. Well, again, not sort of over-striving. And this idea, well, if my personality isn't going to become enlightened, what is going to become enlightened? And I don't even particularly care for the idea of becoming enlightened. Waking up to truth, waking up to reality, waking up to, anicca, anatta, dukkha, impermanence, not self, unsatisfactoriness. So it's kind of like when we're trying to fix ourselves, we're working on the wrong project, because our self, our personality, is never going to be fixed, never going to be perfect. When we are willing to drop all the other fears, concerns, obsessions, and desires, what is left? There is this tremendous opportunity for stillness and clarity, for well-being. Now turning toward awakening, turning toward love, turning toward wisdom. I recited those words from the Metta Sutta today, radiating kindness over the entire world. And I was doing that in my earlier meditation today, that I did when I got up. And because right now it feels like there's this just great, I'll just say horror playing out in the world. And I have to, I can't fix that. I can't solve that. But I can try to keep my heart open and remember these larger truths that for me, living with an orientation towards love is the way to not be caught in fear and fear, concerns, obsessions, and desires, you know, to orient towards something else. And you know, it can seem a little, and it is in a way, you know, ignoring, but that's not a always an unwise thing. That's debatable, and people here might want to debate that. But we can see even in the suttas, in the sutta on the removal of distracting thoughts, that one of the pieces of advice the Buddha says is that when unwholesome thoughts are taking over, that one of the things we can do is just turn away. That we have to, if we don't take care of ourselves on some fundamental level, that you know, we risk becoming overwhelmed by the world, and the world is always going to be what it is, filled with greed, hatred, and delusion. And sometimes that comes more home than others. You know, there are times when it seems like, you know, we're in a golden era, you know, and then not, you know, and you know, golden eras and dark times are both filled with greed, hatred, and delusion. You know, that they just are, and that's the world we live in. I digress. Let me read a little bit more because this brings us back to metta. It's a natural process. So, the what's it's a when he says it, he's saying, I believe what he's referring to is dropping all the fears, concerns, obsessions, and desires, and that there's a tremendous opportunity for stillness and clarity. It's a natural process that relies on the wholesome. Once again, Ajahn Pass knows favorite theme. It relies on the skillful. We use metta, loving kindness. That sense of metta is a field of well-being. We do the chant, may I abide in well-being, may everyone abide in well-being. That kind of wish is a very beautiful state of mind. There's an uplift to it. It is so overwhelmingly wholesome that it's a powerful doorway into samadhi, the settling of the mind. It's extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the mind to settle into stillness through analysis, comparing, and judging. The quality of loving kindness becomes a foundation, a field that can be used in conjunction with the breath. It's like riding the breath with loving kindness. There's a moving into stillness. Excuse me. Just in case you thought I was. Excuse me, I'm in a mute for a moment. It's like riding the breath with loving kindness. There's a moving into stillness. It's a natural process, which he calls dhammata. This is according to Dhamma. Secluded from sensuality, secluded from unwholesome dhammas, that's your basic foundation for sama samadhi, Right concentration. One more paragraph. We use loving kindness, turn to it, make it conscious. Again, it's not that we don't have it, but that when it's not made conscious and appreciated, then one misses that opportunity. It's using yonasomanasikara, wise attention, considered reflection, so that one is attending to the wholesome, attending to loving kindness, to compassion, to gladness, to appreciation, to equanimity, the Brahmaviharas. These are abidings that are truly divine. They are divine abidings not because they take you somewhere else, but because they place you front and center, right in the middle of what is completely wholesome, and the mind settles. It is the opportunity to be happy within and not be seeking for some kind of perfection or rightness of our personality that puts us in doubt and uncertainty. Rather, we fill the citta, the heart, with these wholesome qualities that the Buddha keeps pointing to over and over again. Well, I need to hear that. I really need to hear that. And it's a reminder of the choices we make, and without mindfulness, we can't make these choices, because without mindfulness, the flow of thoughts and feelings just takes us wherever they go, wherever they want to go. And those energies are often infiltrated with greed, hatred, and or delusion. And so that we need to, first of all, be aware of what's going on in the mind. And I think that's what Ajahn Pasano is sort of pointing to in this process. We start by mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness of the body, and then we see what's going on the feeling level, and then we see what's going on the thought level. And then if those areas of experience are manifesting in unpleasant or unwholesome ways, in ways that are creating more dukkha, then we try to point towards, very intentionally arouse, loving kindness. It really requires a commitment, and a willingness to let go. Sometimes I know my unwholesome quality, particularly towards depressive and negative thoughts, carries with it a kind of attitude that, well, this is true and this is right, and I need to focus on these negative things. And if I'm not, it's like the, I don't know if it's a bumper sticker, but basically, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Yeah, maybe, but if you're paying attention and you're angry, then, well, maybe you should choose to try to, point your mind in a direction that's more wholesome and more helpful. You can see I'm probably not in the ideal mind state this morning. It's been interesting. It's been a couple of, gone through a lot of physical stuff in the last few months, and that affects the mind, and it's definitely one of the more difficult times. But I depend upon the Dharma. I depend upon my understanding that, first of all, things are impermanent and mind states that are difficult will pass. And that The Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, this community, the truth of what things, that mindfulness, that loving kindness, that these things will carry me through. I do wish to be more of service to you guys. So I hope that what I've read this morning has been helpful, and the rest of it maybe you should ignore. Anyway, blessings on all of you, and I will see if anybody wants to comment or correct. Well, there we go, Debbie. I was counting on you to step in here.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
It's really nice to be here. I'm sorry to hear how you've been feeling unwell for a while, and sending you metta. Yeah, I really thank you for bringing Ajahn Pasano's, the nourishing roots to, as an anchor for us for our practice. And this, what you've read today, bring us back to the simplicity of practice, just inviting ourselves to this basic stillness. And the one thing that you shared, that he shared, was that was about our personalities, our egos, will never be enlightened or awakened. I can't remember exactly. I have to go back to read that part. But there was something about that that kind of I just had a big exhale out when I read that. I was like, oh, yes. Okay, forget that part in a certain way. And yet, we are responsible, as you said, we are responsible for our practice and our own practice of pausing for ourselves is like our part of the seed that allows us. Opens the door for pausing for our world, right? We can't fix the whole world. We can't fix everything. And it's not on my shoulders. And yet I have a responsibility to sense into what's calling to be heard or calling to be awakened in this world that my ego and personality doesn't really have a lot to do with. But there's something deeper than that that asks to come forth. And unless I sit still, unless I do my practice, I can't hear those messages so well. And not that I'm sitting to find out or to hear something, but that just happens in the background. And so to let go of that part that, okay, I'm going to fix myself, become this, more enlightened being. It's not about that. It's about opening my heart space for that bigger thing, that metta, to come through this vessel, this, for the time that I'm on this earth. And anyway, I'm a little bit babbling, but
No, I like to hear your take, Debbie, because you bring a uplift, which I think is what we need. It's I think we can take that Ajahn Sumedho quote that I'm absolutely sure that my personality will never be enlightened, and say it about the world. I'm absolutely sure that the world will never be, enlightened. And I mean, that could be taken as a negative thing, like, oh, aren't we evolving towards something? And okay, sure, yeah, but just, let's, say this week that the problems of the world are not going to be solved, that isn't what we're doing. In any case, I know, Gabrielle, you had the wish to speak, despite perhaps the capacity to make a raised hand appear. So you are unmuted according to my interface here. So if you wanted to speak, go ahead.
Thank you. Something came to mind that I have posted on my desk, which is a saying by something that Dorothy Hunt said, which is in this choiceless, never-ending flow of life, there is an infinite array of choices. One alone brings happiness to love what is.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad you.
Yeah. I mean, step three can be taken as turning your will and your life over to the care of love. It's the same, I think, message. Thank you. Jeff, hey.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, thanks.
Cal won that game without us,
Really?
so
Who did they
yeah.
play?
I don't know, some Eastern University.
Oh, yeah, well.
I was unable to go as well, so
Oh,
it's
sorry. Yeah.
hey, old people have old hips, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
So
other parts, yes.
yeah, exactly. So I wanted to share two things. First, that Pisano guy, he's really on the ball, you know.
Yeah.
He's got some
Yeah.
good stuff going on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And the idea that my personality could be anything but obtrusive in the process of possible awakening is, yeah, it's sort of like don't trust yourself because yourself isn't got your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say something about current situations. A friend in Ireland who is a anthropologist and teaches history at one of their universities. I had an email from him about the current state of affairs. And he is also has a practice. And he reminded me that empires have been coming and going for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And that in spite of the various temporary political situations that have occurred across the face of the world for 2,600 years, these teachings have survived and thrived and grown in their influence
Yeah.
and in their and the information continues to come out. The idea that we're in some sort of a dark ages, people who were alive in the dark ages, they didn't know they were alive in the dark ages.
That's right.
They
Yeah.
were just alive.
Yeah.
And
No,
every now and then the king would come through and say, we got to go conquer this and that. And then that would pass.
yeah.
Then back to the farm. So the broader, wider, longer view
Yeah.
perhaps is more useful right now.
Thank you,
That's all
Jeff.
I have.
Very much appreciate it. It makes me want to go back and read my book, Living Kindness. I talked about the greed, hatred, and delusion report, and I think, your point, like, really, we our lives take place in a very small sliver of history, and we don't have perspective, and yet, as you say, I mean, I agree that, that the Dharma has survived, and there's no government that has survived 2,600 years. 250 years is actually a really good run. So I think we can be proud of that. Stuart, go ahead. We're running out of time, so.
Good morning, Devin.
Yeah, hi.
I can definitely empathize with you with the cold that you have. It took me about 4 weeks to get over it.
Yeah.
I still have a little tinge of it. But anyway, I hope you get better soon. What you were talking about this morning kind of brought me back to the Serenity Prayer. Not only is it good for my recovery, but also it's kind of good for life in general. And when you talk about the courage to change the things that I can,
Yeah.
I kind of put kindness into that because you can change things with kindness. I mean, you can't really go wrong.
Beautiful.
Even if nothing comes from it, it's just something you can put out there. It's something you can do, and you can't go wrong with it. So that's all I wanted to
Thank you, Stuart. Great. All of you guys, thank you for all your thoughts, because you're helping me, and I need help right now. But it's great. I was actually reflecting on this Serenity Prayer during my meditation this morning as well, and I think that's really helpful, because it's like I can't change other people's minds. It's hard enough for me to change my own mind, but I can have some influence on it. I work at that. That's that. If I have any chance of changing anything, it's that. It's not the world. It's not, the government. It's not you. It's just this internal experience. So thank you. Really good reminder. And yes, I'm going to play golf today. So we're feeling very, this is going to be what I call it, the healing power of golf. So if you don't know about it, you get out there on a golf course and all your troubles fall away, except for your trouble hitting the ball. But anyway, that's another issue. But yeah, I really need to get outside and take a walk, spoiled or otherwise. So you guys, what else? Let me see if I've got any events coming up. My February is actually pretty wide open. I don't have much going on here. Yeah, almost nothing. We have a retreat at the end of the month, but I will tell you that in March, I'm going to be at Napa Valley Insight. I'm going to be at the do something for the San Francisco Zen Center, and I'm doing a day long for a positive light up in Kelseyville. So my website has a new calendar on it. We just set up last night. I'm hoping it's working. So maybe take a look at the calendar and come out and be with us at one of these events. Be in Sangha, be in community. And if you're anywhere near Little Rock, Arkansas, I'm going to be there in April 3rd to the 5th. No, well, 4th, 5th, 6th. Anyway, all right, that's my advertising for the day. And again, thanks to everybody for just your wholesome thinking and for helping me and for being together in this community. It's precious. It's the sacred community. It's the third of the triple gem, the Sangha, and I need it so much. So I miss being with people in person, but it's great to just hang out with you guys like this. And so blessings. Have a wonderful day, and yeah.
Well,
See you
football's almost
next
over, so
Tuesday.
now we can concentrate on the Masters. Yay!
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, we don't have a basketball team anymore, so there's that. It's tr sad.
It's tough.
Wait. Did Stephen Curry die or something? What happened?
Well,
I
have you watched the Warriors? I think we should turn the recording off now because we don't want to alienate people who are not sports
before you
fans.
go, are you going to do the first Tuesday at the monastery in Berkeley this month?
Second Tuesday, yes.
Second Tuesday, sorry. I can't count either.
Yes, and given my health trend, I'll definitely plan to be there. I am way, way better today than I was, last week, and
You sound better.
I just feel better. My body has been really through it. So thanks. Yeah, come out. If anybody in the Bay Area who can make it to the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery the second Tuesday of February of every month, please come. All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's Eleanor. I couldn't join from your webpage this morning.
We heard. We
Yeah. Eleanor, I will email you, but it's the same. I'll tell you in the email.
Okay,
But I
Groovy,
won't
thanks.
be able to do it right away, so I have to do it
That's no
later this
problem.
afternoon.
I got a week.
Okay.
Be
All
well and
right.
happy.
All right.
Yes,
Thank
everyone.
you, Kevin.
Bye. Thanks. See ya.